Europe.
Charlemagne. Costa cruising. Can Antonio Costa make a success of the world's hardest political gig?
What is the world's hardest political assignment? Being president of France these days is not much fun. Heading up the North Korean opposition is rarely a stepping stone to promotion. The role of Minister for Brexit Opportunities in London proved so hard it was scrapped in 2022 after just 2 years and few opportunities found. Of the jobs that endure, that of President of the European Council is perhaps the most confounding. As the chairman of the forum where the European Union's 27 national leaders meet, the person in the role supposedly controls the room in which historic decisions are made, alongside many more humdrum ones. Yet finding common ground between the skinflint Dutch, hard-right Italians, sermonising Scandinavians, and war-rattled Balts requires a deftness of touch few are blessed with. A competent power broker would go a long way to steering the EU through some choppy waters ahead. Bar a last-minute calamity, on June 27th, European leaders will plump for Antonio Costa as the next PEC, as the job is known in Brussels patois. A former Prime Minister of Portugal from 2015 until April, the 62-year-old will be the fourth person to hold the position since it was created in its current form in 2009. It used to rotate between the EU's various leaders every 6 months. The job is in effect for 5 years, meaning Mr. Costa will be on the European scene long after France's Emmanuel Macron has gone, and doubtless outlast the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz too. Making sure that France and Germany are pushing in the same direction is one of the jobs of the PEC, and not one that has been done well in recent years. Of the three cheers that will resound when Mr. Costa is confirmed, two of them will be to celebrate the departure of the incumbent, Charles Michel, a former Belgian Prime Minister who has fumbled his way in the role since 2019. The white-coiffed Mr. Costa, who would take up the job towards the end of the year, is well-liked by his fellow leaders. He is reckoned to have done a good job managing Portugal out of the austere straitjacket imposed by the EU in the midst of the Eurozone crisis a decade ago. Beyond not being Mr. Michel, his main quality is that he is a socialist from Southern Europe. This provides the requisite political and geographical contrast to Ursula von der Leyen, the German Conservative, set to get another 5 years running the European Commission. Holding the reins of the EU's executive arm is the more powerful job. Mrs. von der Leyen gets to boss over 30,000 Eurocrats around. But the European Council sets the political direction for the Commission, much as a board of directors bears down over a chief executive. As chairman of the overseers, the PEC should ensure that the Brussels apparatus is firmly under the political control of elected national leaders. Only if the presidential duo work well together does the union advance smoothly. That has not happened of late. The self-aggrandizing Mr. Michel has indulged in a pointless turf war with Mrs. von der Leyen. In April 2021, the duo literally squabbled over who would sit in a throne-like seat during a meeting with the President of Turkey. The Belgian won, relegating Mrs. von der Leyen to a sofa. This is the difficulty of the PEC job. It must go to someone who has wielded power. Only a current or former national leader has any hope of landing the gig, but is now happy to midwife it instead. Yes, EU treaties endow the position with a role representing the bloc abroad, which Mr. Michel used to jet around the world. A more poised successor might leave the high-end photo ops and throne to Mrs. von der Leyen instead. Nobody at the G7 or G20 would miss having not one but two representatives of the EU when each country manages to send a single leader. That would leave the incoming PEC with more time to focus on the hard bit of the job, which is making sure all 27 national leaders can live with EU decisions they will have to defend at home. The seasoned Mr. Costa, who exudes the good time vibes of an uncle who won't rat on teenagers sneaking a bottle of wine at a family function, is known as a capable backroom operator. He has crafted wily party coalitions at home, of the sort that might need to be replicated at the European level. He would also add a touch of diversity in a town that has shockingly little of it. His father was of Goan descent, and Mr. Costa is an overseas citizen of India. The sole wrinkle on Mr. Costa's CV is a tentacular influence-peddling scandal that forced him from the Portuguese premiership. Details of the investigation into Mr. Costa and his entourage are scarce, but revolve around infrastructure construction permits that tend to go faster when the right politicians are on board. Wiretaps suggested Mr. Costa would at least have been aware of what was going on. His chief of staff was found to be storing €75,800, that's $81,100, in cash in his office. Mr. Costa is not a formal suspect and denies all charges, but was questioned by prosecutors as recently as May. Given the turtle speed pace of the Portuguese judiciary, the prospect of charges is unlikely to disappear soon. Having a competent PEC matters more than ever. The Brussels machinery is run by people who have spent too long in the euro bunker and whose suggested solution to just about every problem is more Europe. Voters across the continent seem to feel differently. Many, not least the French, heading again to the polls this weekend, have plumped for the extremes of left and right, because they are fed up with technocrats in Brussels and elsewhere, telling them there is only one way forward, whether it be on immigration or public finances. Lots of the decisions the EU now has to take, from the pace of carbon cutting to enlargement and support for Ukraine, will be all the more credible if they are thrashed out by politicians at the highest level. Wrangling the EU's 27 national leaders into a coherent force is as hard as it is necessary.